The At Your Instep podcast is brought to you in part by Empire Cards. Check them out at www.empirecards.com.
Hello, and welcome to At Your Instep. I'm here with Mike.
I'm actually Captain Ginyu.
And Jordan.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And we also have Dave here.
Hello.
And we are here to bring you another exciting episode of At Your Instep. And we have a few things to talk about. There are some big announcements in regards to some promos that some judges are getting, as well as Vintage Masters, and a little bit about M15 pre-release, actually, that I wanted to touch on a little bit.
Spoiler alert, it's bad.
it's not good news. After that, we're going to go into the event that Mike and I actually attended up at Carl's at Empire Games. And then we want to talk about SCG Knoxville, as well as Space Jam Minneapolis. And then we're going to move into and talk a little bit about the Pro Tour.
I forgot about that joke.
And then we're going to talk a little bit about the Pro Tour, and then probably just go into our intro, because since we'll definitely have a lot to talk about, and we don't want to, you know, take up your whole day. We understand it's painful to listen to us, so.
It's only the Pro Tour, don't worry about it.
It's only the Pro Tour. No, who cares? Who gives a shit, right? It's just going to, I mean, it's blocked, so it's just going to be Craig Resco, right? It's just going to make all the white weenies attack and then just
probably
win. There are two anthems in the set. I mean, come on, he has to
spear three. And Hall.
Oh, there's three actually too, because they
dictate.
Dictate.
Oh man, yeah, it's
Pro Tour Craig Wesco. Excuse us. Anyway, we'll get more into that once we get to it. So first, let's talk about these exciting promos. So let's go ahead and we'll move into the community segment. So guys, promo Force of Will. How about that?
Sold out on Star City for $999.99.
Yeah.
What a bargain!
Hey, at least it's not $1,000.
Yeah, so close.
It's like you, the gas though, where it's $2.99 and 99 yeah. hundredths.
You keep yeah. that penny.
Shit, I'm going to Star City. It's less than $1,000.
Yeah, so if you haven't heard already, there is a foil promo Force of Will. It's the art that was actually commissioned for like Legacy Champs 1 year. And it's pretty awesome art. It's been promoed already on Magic Online, so you guys have probably seen it there as well. And judges are getting it. It's not all judges. It's only judges from like 2009 that have...
Any judge from 2005 and forward that has trained another judge.
Yes. That is trained or like actually certified.
Certified is like a level one.
Okay, yeah.
So you have to be at least a level two since 2005.
Right, and have gotten someone to be,
right.
be a judge.
And yeah, okay.
So this makes them, you know, far more exclusive.
Now, do all of them get it? All those level twos that fit that criteria?
Yes. The first level twos are above.
The first wave of these was like a specific number wasn't given, but on Twitter it was thrown out that it's less than 2,000.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So very, very expensive, very exclusive.
This is the judge promo to end all judge promos.
Right, exactly. And
the judge promo going out of business? Is that
I mean, yeah. it's super cool to see, but like, why? I don't understand why they even do this. Like, it's great to see. Like, they did this. Okay, so I know why they did this. The judge program actually reached 5,000 judges, which is a huge accomplishment for them. So they wanted to reward judges and release these. But it's just like, that's a highly playable card. Like, you're basically just handing out grands to these level two judges.
It makes total sense. I mean, they just hit 5,000, right?
Right.
These are 5,000 people that legitimately in pretty much any other company would be employees. And yeah. Wizard manages to keep them as non-employees.
Yeah,
they don't have to pay them
true.
Anything. They don't have to do anything. And they literally get to print money for them that is not taxable. So this
true.
Makes absolute sense. You keep like, oh, look, you do special things. Don't worry. We're going to reward you well. Never with cash, though, so we never pay any tax burden. This makes absolute, I mean, it's perfect sense.
It is perfect sense in that respect for judges, but it's just like, I hope that they still are looking to find ways to reprint these expensive cards that aren't on the reserve list like Force of Will is, to maybe introduce it and maybe, you know, try to stem the what's happening with those cards. They're starting to explode. We see that with Dual Lands, and we saw with Wasteland and with Force of Will. So, like, trying to find a way to actually make these cards reasonably priced so people can afford them.
They're not. Wizards isn't trying to make those cards reasonably priced.
I know.
Modern, yes. Legacy, no. If anything, the reserve list still has to let you know that they care too much about people's collections and the prices of their collection too. So no, you're not going to get something swamped in Legacy like
that.
But
see, I think they go back and forth on that, because then they have things in the Commander product that are specifically broken, are specifically overpowered, so that it will impact Legacy.
But, no,
they said before that they don't care about.
That's a totally separate issue from what I'm saying. I'm saying is that they are never going to try. Modern, sure, they will tank the price of a card. They don't care as much. Mm-hmm. Legacy, though, they are not trying to tank the price of cards mm-hmm. because they have already essentially stood by collectors. So I don't think you're ever going to see a way that Force Will is just given to everybody. Like, hey, guys. Here you go.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it would be given to everyone, but there are ways that aren't this to get it out there. Because who's going to have this? Who's going to be able to access this card? Just the
rich people.
Rich people. It's a rich person card.
That's the point, even. It's not necessarily a card for people to play with. It's for them to pay judges. Right. Star City will always be buying this card.
Oh, 100%.
So judges should always go flip this for $700, $650.
Unless I want to use it.
Right.
Well, right. And sure, it's success for you, I guess.
And at the end of the day, there are, 1,500 more Force of Wills in the world over the next few months than there were before. So you can't really say, like, well, it's, you did some. It's not enough. Well, they don't care.
Yeah. It just seems like, oh, that's like, great.
We did it.
I guess for players like us, it's just like, oh, that's
I didn't want their Force of Wills anyways.
Well, I guess it's not something for players like us. You know what I mean? I don't look at
it's
that
for
and
judges,
go,
and it's for, you
it's
know,
for
people,
non-players.
People with top hats and monocles
yeah.
that swim in their money like Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah, I don't look at that release and think that I'm getting screwed out of anything. I look at it and go, oh, well, that's something I'll never own. You know what I mean?
I just think it feels like a hollow gesture in some facets to players that actually play with Force of Will. Like the people that actually own them and or want to own them have them proxied up in their deck.
I think you'd be, if you're one of those players that's bitter about that, you're probably looking at it the wrong way. Maybe. Like, not everything's for you. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I just wanted to point out that it couldn't work like it did in DuckTales if he would have jumped into the money.
Right, it would have murdered. He would have died. I understand that.
Oh, okay.
I was just going
for because the money wouldn't have kept him buoyant.
Well, it's right.
it's
like
solid.
Yeah, concrete.
Yeah.
He would have dove into it. It doesn't become water. It's not like magically like liquid. He just die.
Anyway, we're not talking about the physics of the intro to DuckTales.
Well, you seemed like
you
thought you would
underneath the coins, he'd probably just die from the weight.
Right. Yeah, he would just get crushed. It just seemed like you didn't understand, Morgan, and I wanted to make sure that you did.
No.
This is another fun physics moment with
Hagrid. Anyway, thank you. The more you know. So if you really believe that Scrooge McDuck could fucking swim through his goddamn money, he can't.
Ruined your life.
I'm just...
Ooh.
All right, so you're never going to own a Force Wheel. That's it. Sick.
Fun
Moving
fact.
On.
Moving on.
Dave Popper Cube will never have it. Anyway.
It makes me sad. I told him he had two kidneys to sell one, so... He seemed to decline that offer.
You have a child that...
I don't know exactly what you're implying, but
neither do we.
Sell your child.
Anyway,
I think I was pretty clear.
So there were obviously some other exciting just judge promos. There was a Phyrexian language
Elishnorn.
Now
it's so bad.
Kluke popularly altered one to look like this. Now there is one. So it's pretty sick.
That's also $200.
Also. I mean, I think well worth it.
Yeah, that's
pretty
awesome. Now that's a pretty unique
unique card. And then we also have the old border sort of Feast and Famine.
Right.
Which is probably the next most possible
one. And they're like slowly completing that cycle, which I think is pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah, most certainly. And then what else? Was there anything else that Connie wanted? Was there some commander cards?
There's like Greater Good, a number
Doros
of.
Loro's in there? Or
yeah.
Loro, or. The when it's at the commands.
Oh, Loro, yeah, yeah.
Loro.
The one that was sweet that has new art. I know one of our friends was really excited. It was Hannah, the ship navigator.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, the
yeah,
art
really
on it
art.
Is sweet. Like,
yeah, that'll be a sweet foil to have. So.
You said Elishnorn, Mike?
Yeah.
That looks sweet. Phyrexian, did you talk about Elishnorn already?
No, yes, we literally did. Have you been here? Welcome to the podcast, Jordan.
Hey, Jordan. What's up?
I honestly thought I was trolling for a second. I was like, yes, we
want. Now, you play Elishnorn in your...
I do, and I really want this really badly. Like,
well,
I want
if you're a good boy, maybe Santa will bring it to you.
Are you telling me you're going to buy me one?
No. I'm just saying.
Well, why
Santa.
Would you say that? Santa doesn't
Santa.
Exist.
You know how mad I'd be? I get a picture of Velvet Jesus and you get a foil Elishnorn. I'd be so upset.
You love that picture.
I do love that
you're
picture.
You're saying foil Jesus is not worth
foil Jesus.
$200? Oh, I just spoiled next year's Shit.
First of all, it's not foil. It's premium.
Is it
premium Jesus?
Is it premium felt Jesus?
Premium felt Jesus.
It looks
premium
like
premium felt foil Jesus.
It's like one of those lamps that has like the golden sparks at the end of the little wires, and you're like, ooh.
Oh man, we'll try to find that for you, Jordan. I don't know how that'll go.
Can you get Kluge to do an altar of Jesus Christ on a card for me?
You got to win the Keeper Invitational first.
You could ask him yourself. I don't know.
That's what I want for Christmas, Dave.
Okay.
Can you put it? Can you alter a shallow grave?
All right. Moving on.
All of my colleagues that are listening to this, I'm so sorry.
If Jesus is exactly three cards deep in your graveyard, return to the battlefield.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
All right.
We broke the format.
We're getting off the rails here, guys.
All right.
So the next exciting thing that happened that actually started this week was Vintage Masters, which is going to be happening on Magic Online. Kind of a way to...
Only on Magic Online.
Only only.
I cannot make this more clear. Only on Magic Online.
Can only ever
happen. I already have seen
Magic
some people
Online.
Who are like, man, no one's ever going to sell this MSRP. I'm like, what?
It's a Phantom draft, guys. It's okay.
No, pardon?
That's actually incorrect.
Oh,
yeah,
it's not.
It is real. Yeah, these are, they're introducing these cards into Magic Online because they're never in power on Magic Online.
Right, so now you'll actually be able to play Vintage on Magic Online.
How much
right?
these packs going to cost?
Bro, Foil Black Lotus.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Did you see the numbers? So, like, a mythic is, like, 1 in 33, right? And then, like, a special is,
okay,
1 in 54 mythics.
Right. So, the special is what
the power 9 is
classified as. It's a rarity level that's obviously higher than mythic. So, don't expect to just be like, oh, I'm just opening all this power 9. It's not going to happen. It's still going
to
be a rarity.
No, you do have two slots to open a power 9 in a pack.
That's true, because it's sort of like Modern Masters,
yeah, there's
right?
a foil in every pack, but the foil could also be power 9. So, you could actually open... The Black Lotus foil, Black Lotus special.
Yeah, mythical double. Yeah, power 9.
Right. Like you just have a stroke in your chair. Like you're in the draft, you hear the little.
The best thing is the guy to your left.
Then it passes it.
Auto drafts.
The best thing is the guy to your. The guy to your left is going to think you're an idiot when he sees the Black Lotus in the pack. He's going to be like, what card did this idiot take?
I'm like,
take the foil.
Wow, man, guy's in it to win it, that's for sure.
Yeah. He really wants those six cube ticks.
But, the other exciting thing is they're putting dual lands in it as well. And I don't think a lot of people expected
that.
So the full 10 set of dual lands will be draftable as well. So
Is it original art black border?
I don't know.
It was in the image card gallery.
It could actually just be placeholders because some of the
That's fair.
Because some of the cards haven't actually been on Magic Online, so they just might not be.
All the duels.
Now,
all the duels have, yeah. Most sure,
on
certainly.
Magic Online with Modern Masters, the set was redeemable. Is this set redeemable?
No,
I can't imagine. I can't imagine, but
they're probably not going to be printing any of those cards anytime soon. So
yeah, I couldn't imagine, but like Modern Masters is redeemable. So
you get Mark Rosewater's personal collection.
but this draft would be pretty.
Have they said
exciting.
How many ticks of that draft is going to be?
I have
the packs
clue.
Are comparable to Modern Masters, even though they're digital.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So,
which is, I mean, to me,
AKA
ridiculous.
I will not be drafting it.
Right.
I was going to say I'm going to do a bunch of videos for Iron Sub. That's not true.
I think that maybe we can throw some cash into a pot and try to draft it at least.
Morgan's
once.
Big money over here.
I don't know. I mean, hey, maybe we'll record it or something. Who knows? I know we've tried to do that before, and it's always ended in a blaze of glory.
I'd rather take that money and put it back into more research about the DuckTales pot.
I would really like some cold hard facts about this.
A real life experiment. We'll just like
yes.
clear out a pool and just put like a bunch
Can
of
we
coins
actually
in
just
it.
Throw
just
a duck
throw
in
a
it
duck.
Though?
I wish you guys could have seen the visual of Mike throwing his arms in the air.
Yeah, not pictured.
Well, you also have to tape the wings down because then they'll try to fly.
Right,
assholes.
Yeah,
trying to survive and shit. Come on.
All right, let's
drown, ducky, drown.
Enough animal abuse.
Yeah, drown. It's metal.
Drown, ducky, drown. Anyway, back to Magic.
Right.
Woo!
So this kind of goes against what we talked about in the show notes. But something else that happened was the beta spotlight that we almost forgot to talk about, that we need to talk about, because this is a huge community impact. People were they had early pre-release events for Journey to Nyx, and you could only get to them by being on the beta. Now, I don't know if you guys have been on the beta lately. It's still terrible. I know Mike.
Mike
likes the beta.
Like is a strong word, but it's the only one I play is the beta.
Yeah, which is it's weird. Anytime I load the beta, it's like it's just awful on my computer, and my computer can run things like Skyrim and a decent clip and everything like that. But for some reason, the beta is just like, I don't like this.
Exploit and the beta don't work together well. It's miserable.
The belligerent. No.
But yeah, and everyone was just like, it was just terrible.
There's already a Brian Kibler blog complaint post, so
about it.
Things could be changing. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I mean, Wizards already even said that they're looking at fixing the date when this is, we're just forced into
this,
right?
Yeah, they already announced the date. It's in July.
Yeah, like we just, there is a dead date for the regular client.
Now, the question is, do you guys think that they hold to it?
Because I don't worry. Kibler's on the case.
Well,
Watsy's just going to throw out the
Sherlock Kibler.
I have heard more people say just throw it out. And just get rid of it and just start new, because this is garbage. And you could tell, like, there were tweets where it's like, oh, the standard daily didn't fire because it was beta only. This is not, like, when on version 3, the standard dailies you have to set up, like, 2 hours beforehand so you make sure you get it, and they don't even fire?
It's going to be ugly.
Yeah, it's going to be
ugly, now, at least at first.
But I mean, we guys have to put in the context that, like, every transition between, like, new client to old client has been this way. But, I mean, when you have Magic being at its maximum right now, and keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and Magic Online being a component of that, for them to just, force out, it's not even bad just because it's bad comparatively to version 3. It's bad because it's a bad program. It is just a terrible program.
It's aesthetically pleasing. It looks a lot better than version 3 does.
Sure.
It looks a lot better.
Visually, I would say that it does look... It is more visually interesting. It just does not function.
No, for sure. I honestly, I don't know what Wizards can do. Like, their own production and design teams have just shown that they're inept. They are literally inept. And that until Wizards and Hasbro, really, decides to pour some real money into a third-party developer, which, hint, ain't gonna happen.
And it's unfortunate.
That it's probably not going to be a very good program.
Yeah. I mean, July, so... I mean, there were things in the beta they announced they had fixed they just hadn't. That still just didn't work. Like, positioning of library for, like, things like course or crew fix. I was watching Michael Jacobs stream, and he was trying to... actively hates the beta, but he was trying to stream it with positivity. And basically his skull was,
Yeah.
Separating from his flesh while trying to be positive.
Separating from his flesh.
Because we all know that Michael Jacobs is not the most positive of
He's like Virginia's hatred for everything.
Right, exactly. So, like, he's playing with... Someone has Courser. He's trying to ascend the library. They scry, and it just goes back to where he didn't want it. He's like, no, I put it over here, and I size it like this. Why can't you just remember this? You just can't. Like, just simple things like that. And it's like...
The chat function on the beta is so bad.
Terrible.
It's like, all right, close the chat.
And it's like
chat's back.
Yeah.
All right, let's minimize the chat. Oh, cool, chat's back. Why? You're not saying anything. Or it's like, this person started a chat with you. What'd they say? They didn't say anything. Why are you lying to me? You're why I can't trust my father.
So
sorry, I got real.
So needless to say, the beta spotlight, as every beta spotlight they ever had with version 4, was terrible. And
can't trust him, though.
And the funny thing is they once they brought back version 3, guess what? None of the Journey into Nyx cards had art. Nope.
Then you had
this is your punishment.
What was the card that had just had removed on it?
Oh, Basara Tower Archers.
Yes.
Just had a big...
Just like a big red removed.
Just
like,
red.
Rejected.
Like rejected stamp on it. I saw that on a stream and I was like, is that a joke? Like, what is that?
I saw people like, my deck builder app has the new Journey into Nyx art. Moto doesn't.
So just like a comedy of errors over the weekend, if you played Moto, you just probably lulled a lot. Or just got entirely pissed off and didn't play Moto, so...
Or you hated it every second of it and still kept playing because you just can't stop.
You're fucking degenerate.
And that's what Wizards is hoping, is that you just say,
yeah.
I hate this, click, click, click. I mean, I really hate this, click, click, click.
I think I'm
going to
cash out of my modern deck on there. Like, I just...
But, like, what's interesting is that's a lot of... It's not a lot of people's livelihood, but that is certainly some people's livelihood. Like people like Michael Jacob, Numat the Nummy. Like that's how they make money. So when you put out a bad program and that doesn't allow them to freely make money like they used to, or makes their lives more painful to do so, like you're messing with people's livelihood. And I guess like it's kind of one of those things. Like, well, then they can just do something else, or they can just put up with it. But like, it still sucks.
Yeah, I heard like Newmont the Mummy actually like got a sponsorship deal because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was some candy company, and now his name is Newmont the Mummy.
LOL. Look at Mike. He's so funny.
Newmont the Nummy.
No, you don't get this one.
Nummy.
Moving.
We all get what you're doing. We just don't think it's
maybe
funny.
Maybe some listeners at home laughed, but you can't
you
hear
know the
them
meme
now.
Where it's like, I get it. I just didn't laugh.
You want to try it again?
No. All right. The last thing we want to talk about actually is M15.
See why your father beat you.
That's terrible. Don't put that out in the world.
I forgot about that.
Good. I'm glad it's back.
Oh, man. Wow. I really do apologize for all the post-traumatic stress flashbacks we just induced to some of our listeners. I apologize. We don't mean to do
sorry,
that.
I make nom jokes to Jordan all the time. It's good. He can't deal with it.
I forgot about Charlie.
All right.
There was a...
Nobody likes Charlie.
No.
Oh, Charlie.
Oh, no.
He was just a six-year-old. He just put the grenade in my boot. I don't know why he did that. Why? I told him to go back away. He didn't go back away. Why would he go back away?
Stop it. We're going down a dark path that we don't need to
go
down.
Charlie.
Somebody play some Jimi Hendrix quick.
No.
Creedence in the Clearwater Band.
Creedence. Jordan's quote for the show. Creedence in the Clearwater Band.
In the Clearwater Goblet. We gotta stick to magic here.
Oh, man. This show is full of the giggles today, guys.
Oh, it's Creedence Clearwater Revival, by the way.
Oh.
That's the name of the band.
The whole time he's just like, what? What did I say?
I was like, that wasn't that funny, but sure, whatever, guys.
All right. We still have one more community topic. At least.
Oh, we haven't even talked about magic yet. Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
Did we talk about Oshnorn yet?
It's written in Phyrexian.
So
swimming on a bunch of money. With
no,
a duck.
No. We're going to get through this segment. We're going to get
lead
to the
on,
next
Morgan,
segment.
Lead on.
All right, so M15 pre-release info has leaked out a little bit. And we've come to find that I hope you guys really enjoy those nice pre-release packs that you get because you're getting some more for M15. So M14 wasn't like this. You got, six packs and you made a sealed deck, but not anymore. So you're going to get five packs of M15 and a, one of five seeded booster packs, depending on, assumedly, what color you pick. And the whole goal of the pre-release will be, you're being hunted by Garrick, who's... basically just got schizophrenic due to the Veil Curse. Is roughly what they're doing, and now he's murdering people. Specifically Planeswalkers, so specifically you. So...
Get it?
He's pretty angry that somebody tried to throw him in a pool full of money. And he's coming back after you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what Liliana did. Figured it out.
Liliana's a witch, which means she weighs exactly as much as...
A duck.
Yeah, I was going to say a toad. Damn it. She turned him into a newt. That's what it was.
Right. Right.
She turned him into a toad. Because the Clear Wands banned.
Anyway.
Four is right out.
So you'll have one of, a pre-release card and one of five, obviously. And then you also get wolf tokens with this, which is really weird.
What?
And random. So you just
random
get...
Random wolf tokens.
So Garrick make wolves then. I mean, that's...
I really hope so, because I have custom wolf tokens that look like Okami. So I'm really glad to get to use those again.
The Hot Master returns.
I don't think so. My card's really... I wish.
No. The Huntmaster. Anyway, please continue.
Oh, yes, correct. Callback. If you guys don't know what that is, if you guys don't know what that is, go
plastered all over the website.
Go way back.
Easter eggs.
So, yeah, I mean, that's all we want to talk about on the M15 pre-release. Also, I guess one of the rewards is Garrick's Axe. So you can get Garrick's Axe. I don't know if that's a card, like a promo card, or...
Okay, I just want to work one of these events now. Like, so what do I get for signing up? Well, you get this pack of cards, and you get these tokens, and my axe!
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm sure Ryan will do that. I'm sure we could.
Does have a man dressed as Garrick who says it to every single customer?
I mean, I'm pretty sure if you just put, a helmet on Ryan, he would look like Garrick.
Yeah, close enough.
So, the pre-release doesn't actually start till 2 a.m. because he's saying that to every single person.
Exactly. It's not very efficient, but it is funny. Yeah. All right, so that's a bit it for the community. So let's go ahead and we'll look at our competitive segment. So, obviously, a lot of things happened, but most importantly, there was an event that me and Mike attended, And that was at Empire Cards. It was hosted by Carl's Lovely Store with a great payout. And we had a fair amount of success, I would say. Mike more than me, as typical. But
correct.
It was the day that ended with a Y.
We both did pretty well. We were undefeated in Swiss, which was pretty awesome. So with combination of win and draws. And we both top aided. So I guess since my story is a little bit shorter, I'll go ahead and tell my tale. So I played Brave Naya again, just ran back the same 75 that I played at Cincy. And for some reason, the stars aligned, and I did pretty well with the deck. I played against a lot of Mono Black, which I did fairly better against than in Cincy. I also had sideboard notes, which actually helped out a lot, so I know I was pretty fast with sideboard, knew what to take out, knew what to put in. And I had some pretty interesting board states. I think in my first match that I had three Boros Reckoners out against my green-black opponent, and I was like, you don't play Bioblight, so this is fine. This is fine, right? my 3/3 creatures will all survive that are all the same named creature, and that's what won me the game. And every match I actually had against Control, I just never was afraid. It was just straight blue-white or anything like that. Just never cared about it. Just always steamrolled it. 2-0'd it usually. I never played against another aggro deck though. So
you did twice.
What did I play?
You don't consider mono red devotion an aggro deck?
I think it's more of a combo deck in all honesty.
That's fair, I guess. I don't know. It's trying to cast things on turn three that are gigantic. So
it also plays things like Frostburn. Weird. I guess Mono Blue also plays that card.
Right.
I just don't see it as necessarily.
I guess combo deck maybe, but I probably classify it as more aggressive than anything else.
I mean, it's an aggressive. Sorry, it's an aggressive.
I'm
deck.
Quibbling. I apologize.
Right. So that kind of gets me to my point. Obviously, so Mike and I actually got paired against each other in round six. Mm. We were both undefeated. We knew the double draw and would get us there. So
the casual draw, go to Starbucks.
Right, exactly. The casual draw.
Humble brags.
And abandoned Griff there. Sorry, Griff. Heart you. And the only other undefeated players, which were one player that had just won out, no draws, and then another player had one draw. Both Control, so awesome, ended up drawing against each other, which was awkward. So Mike gets paired against the.
I become the one seed.
You
become
the one seed.
I can just draw with whoever I'm paired against, and
exactly.
I do.
Exactly. And I have to play against the 15 pointer, who has the best breakers at that point in time, who is playing red white devotion. Guess what? That's not a deck that I had prepared for. My sideboard. Who'd have thunk it? That deck really hasn't shown up very often, but it wasn't a surprise to see there because there was a lot of mono black. In the room, and red-white devotion typically has a good game plan against that deck, so it wasn't surprising, but I got lucky. I don't think I'm supposed to win that matchup. I don't have a way to interact with their creatures. Game one, game two, it's very minimal interaction that I have. I have things like Vanishing Light, Glare of Heresy, and Mizzium Orders, but sometimes that's just not enough to get there if you don't draw them. And he got stalled out of mana a couple of games, and I just happened to squeak in. So I got to be top seed in top eight, and it was pretty awesome. And then I promptly lost to the same man.
Because that guy's only losses were to myself and to Morgan, so
correct.
He's the only X2 that sneaks in.
He made it to top eight, and I played against him again, and it didn't turn out so well that time. Did not. Game one, I mulled to six, I believe, and even on the play, it just wasn't enough to really surmount that. And I figured I'd probably lose game one. Game two, I had a better shot, but he kept three removal spells against me, so he kept Burning Tree Emissary. At least this is what he had within the first few turns. Burning Tree, Mizzium Mortars, Glare of Heresy. Mm. All my creatures are white, except for my Gorkland Rampagers. So those are removal spells. It was bad. It was bad to go Fleecemane Lion, him go Burning Tree, Mizzium Mortars, your Fleecemane Lion. And then go Fleecemane Lion, and him go Glare of Heresy, attack you for four. And then me go Voice of Resurgent, and him go Glare of Heresy, attack you for more. It was pretty debilitating. So I was promptly eliminated. Unfortunately,
interesting thought would have been after you beat him in the Swiss to offer the draw to purposely make sure you wouldn't play against him?
It could have been interesting, but I already offered him the draw in the beginning of the match.
Right. No, I understand that. But, like, for seeding purposes, you would know you would not have to play against him if you offered him the draw, which
right.
is interesting.
But I don't think that he knew he could sneak in. That's the thing.
I mean, he has a better chance at 1-1 than he does at 2. Or, I'm sorry, at 3, I should say. Or, I'm
right.
sorry, 2.
Sure. But
just a thought. It was just like,
I don't know if he would. If he did take the draw in the beginning, I don't know if he'd take it in the end.
When he lost?
Maybe.
He snapped me greatly.
Maybe, but then, like, I give up.
I understand you.
No, you give up. No, you obviously become the one seed, which is fine.
Right.
Yeah, I
really would want to be the one seed with the deck I was playing.
Super competitor in me is like, oh, I offered it the first time. You're just an idiot. It's like, you lose. Like,
right.
Yeah.
And the thought is that, you know, hopefully I don't have to play against
right.
again. But there was mono blue in the top 8, so like having to get a paired against that is also a nightmare. So I wouldn't necessarily want to get that. And there is also burn, and I mean
that's true.
We'll get to that later. Niagara and burn don't necessarily mix well necessarily.
Fair enough.
So Mike, tell us about your trail.
Oh, I won the event. So.
Oh, okay. Just throw it out. Put his dick on the table. Yeah, I won.
I will throw this at us. We don't normally talk about TCG events that often, but they had a 5K this weekend that had 3 copies of Mono Blue in the top 8, and we have Mono Blue in the top 8 and Red Devotion again. So if Mono Black continues to put up the numbers, we're going to see these decks come back that are like a nightmare for Mono
Please.
Black. So, which is fine with me. They're all good. They're all good matchups. So I played my Boros deck. I played a really spicy one in the sideboard. I want to throw this at you, Dave. Because I cut the Anger of the Gods because I didn't think I would need them and did not need them. So I added the second Banishing Light, but I was trying to think of a 15th card that would be okay against Control. Couldn't think of a card. Ended up buying and playing a Legion's Initiative.
The Roboid Sacket thing?
Yes.
The Anthem thing?
Yeah, so yeah. My thought was that it made Shot Phoenix's attack for 3. If you go like turn 2 Initiative and then attack for 3, and then like... If you're able to keep mana up, then their detention sphere is at least one of them is blank. It also blanks a Wrath as well. So never drew it, never cast it. So, but
sounds
like
it worked out.
So I was like, we're gonna go deep. We're gonna try this out. So I played against Mono Black a number of times and did pretty fine. I played against Reanimator deck round 1, which I had not played against that deck. It was a little tough. I also played against the Junk deck, which. That was the match, out of all the games I played all day, that was the match where I just, like, afterwards, I was just like, ugh, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, because, like, I killed 2 Obsidots one game, 2 Archangel of Thunes, a Blood Baron, and, like, then one of the Archangels was, like, Chained to the Rocks. Like, he brought it back 3 different times when I was, like, removing it with, like, enchantment removal and still just got there with dragons. So, this is one of those matches.
Yeah, we decided that we want to get a Klug Altar.
Oh, God, yeah.
Fate of Conflagration with Mike just pointing and saying, you.
Yeah, Fate of Conflagration, that card is just a house. I can't tell you how many things I killed on Saturday with that. Just like Elspeth,
seems like every
Jesus.
Week, every week you're just telling stories about, look at all these more things that I killed.
I had 3 readers on Saturday where I was like, yeah, like Exile Mobs, I'm like, Fate of Conflagration. They're like, wait, how much does this do? And I'm like, it's 5.
enough.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So
I'm gonna get out juice.
So I felt pretty good about that. Drew against Morgan, was able to draw in the top 8. Ended up playing against the guy I drew with, who was the Esper control deck.
And his deck was actually interesting. He had main deck Blood Barons.
Yeah, he had main deck Blood Barons.
And a Mana Confluence, too.
Well, he was playing a much heavier Black Splash. He had Silence of the Believers, which I definitely got, that's the Strive card that exiles a creature, and then you can strive to exile more creatures.
In every attachment attached to it.
Yeah, during a combat, like, he got to game 1, he, like... Definitely got to strive for 2 and exile a Chandra's Phoenix and a Mutavault. And I was just like, oh, gross. God! I still won that game after I mold a 5. So
that's his dick again.
Stop talking about that. No, it was so kind of interesting. The actual tournament itself was run at regular REL.
Yeah,
but
was
we had deck registration. It's a TCG Platinum event. And they said it would be regular REL, but then switch to competitive and top 8, which we didn't understand. Best part is that my opponent round 1 is like, well, we're a regular, and he pulls his phone out to use his life pad. And I'm like, well, yeah, we're a regular. I guess you're allowed to do that.
Right.
And like my phone went off, like I got a phone call, and I just put it on the table too. I'm like, whatever. Judge came by and like warned us to like, remove our phones from the table because we couldn't do that. And the guy, we're like, it's regular REL. He's like, yeah, but we're holding that rule up. And I'm like, so we have, We're just a competitive. Like, all you're doing is letting people cheat. Like,
yeah, you're giving people less of a penalty. And it was so funny when they announced that. Me and Mike were facing so we could see each other. We just looked at each other. We're like, what?
So then in top eight, game three, it came to a situation where like it was really close. My opponent had an Aetherling. I had an Elspeth. I had one burn spell in hand, and he was a real low life total. I knew he had a dissolve though because he flipped it off of Jace, and I did know what his other two cards were. And he attacked. He pumped his Aetherling and attacked me for six to put me at six. And he goes, well, he goes, attack you. I'm like, okay, take six. He's like, yeah, at six. And he goes, you know, actually, I want to kill Elspeth. And I'm like, no. And he was like, and there's a judge sitting there, and I'm like, we're competitive. I've taken six. And the judge is like, yeah, you attacked him. Which is important because he had the second dissolve and six mana up still. So my first play on my turn, which was the plan all along, is to minus the Elspeth to see what he does. So he has to tap, because I have three tokens to attack for lethal. So he has to minus his Aetherling going down to five mana, so he's just dead either way. Because I have with the second burn spell. So it was just like, it was very important. You know
so
what I mean?
So what you're saying is that there is a second person out there that doesn't know how to play with their Aetherling. Fun fact.
No, he knew what to do with it. He just didn't attack correctly. Oh. And honestly, like... If he does it that way where he kills the Elspeth, he still has to flicker on his turn. Like he has to spend one more mana either way. I think I'd have to look at the board state again, and I can't. So, but anyway, so I beat him, and I end up playing Morgan's opponent, who I've already played in the Swiss, the Devotion deck.
I was avenged.
We were done in 10 minutes. So, interesting thing, he was playing Confluence in his deck, and one of our games in the Swiss, I think it was the second game, I killed him with Burn exactly after he took 5 damage from his Confluence, because he kept a hand that was 2 lands of the Confluence and didn't draw another land for a while, and like, it just killed him. So it was interesting to note, just be like, well, when there's Burn spells around, the Confluence can be pretty relevant, and then I ended up, I technically split in top 8 with a guy I know from up there, and I had to have a winner, and it was like, who wants to win, and I'm like, well, I'll take it, and I took the win, so I won. So...
Yeah, I did.
It was good times, though.
Having a deck that did have mana confluence in it, I did get to go to 1 and win a game, which was fun against Mono Black. It was just awesome. I got to... Okay, so here's the board state in that one, because actually it was really interesting. So I'm at 1. It was fun. It's fun. I was really happy about it.
I'm just shaking Mike my head shaking just to make him mad.
So I am at 1 life. I have a... creature, I have a Voice of Resurgence token, that's what it is. Voice of Resurgence token in play, Celestial Charm in hand, and he has just one single Grey Merchant up. So I get to go Celestial Charm, my Voice of Resurgence token, make it a 4/4 because I have another creature in play. -2 my Domri, get rid of my Domri, fight your Grey Merchant, and attack for lethal at 1 life. It felt real good. So, we both had a really great time, and I'm glad we went, and we got Swenson's. So, I already felt like a champion anyway.
Insane. They're coming to Columbus, by the way.
What? When?
It was on Columbus subreddit. They're moving the shop here.
Yeah. See you later, Mike. It's been nice knowing you.
Yeah. Snubble. All right.
So, super exciting. Congratulations, Mike.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Winning is fun.
It is.
Is it?
I agree.
I've enjoyed it recently.
I haven't.
So let's go ahead. We'll move into SCG Knoxville. So that one was won by Red White Burn. Two of them in the top 8, in fact. So this is kind of a deck that we didn't see pretty much at all in Cincy, at least in the top 16 list that we showed. But man, it kind of showed up, propelling two players into top 8 status. Tyler Wynn was the player's name. He had a spicy list. He actually played 2 of Wild Guess. Man, that's wild.
Did he play the card that deals like X damage based on the number of instants and sorceries in your graveyard?
No.
Okay.
No, nobody plays that card.
Because that would make sense, but no.
Yeah. Okay. He also had a 1 of Dictate of the Twin Gods in his sideboard.
Woo!
Yeah! Mike, you opened a bunch of those, didn't you?
I won a bunch of boxes and definitely opened 2 foil ones and like 7 non-foil ones. I don't even know how it was possible.
The picture he sent to us on the show chat was, who did I piss off?
Why, Mogus? Why?
Why, you're us?
I was a good boy, Perforos.
So, this looks like just there doesn't seem to be anything too out of the blue except for like the wild guesses, but we do see Eidolon of the Great Rubble showing up, which is the pyrostatic pillar on a stick, which is not surprising to see here. But you have Searing Blood, Chain of the Rocks, things that you would normally see in a burn list. he even has things like Act of Treason in there as well, just to take some big guy and kind of swing in. But yeah, you know, this is definitely a list.
Is that actually playing Act of Treason?
Yeah, it's Act of Treason.
Man, most of the lists in the top 8 or top 16 were playing Harness by Force, and I just don't see why you wouldn't be playing Harness by Force at this point.
I mean, maybe...
casting consideration because of Mutavault?
I guess so. Like, just being able to have double red.
But I think you just are playing Harness by Force, right? Like,
I probably...
the upside of possibly drawing a late
like
in the game.
Like, if you have 6 mana, yeah, like, you just take win the game. Things.
Yeah.
But second place list is Jamie Arnold. He was playing Brave Naya. Now, this is the list that was actually provided by Brad Nelson in his article a few weeks ago. So it has things like Luxodon Smiter and the Giant Growths are actually in the sideboard. But there's actually 2 Naya aggro lists in the top 16, along with a Naya Hexproof list. So this is definitely a list to take a look at, but something to take note, as you know, Mike said, if things like Red White Devotion and Mono Blue show up. Mono Blue, yeah, you can't win. There's just no way. You just concede that matchup. It's a terrible one. Like, you can play it out, but it's not. You're not gonna like it. I'm not gonna like how it's turned out. It's gonna be bad. It's gonna be bad. But you know, congratulations, Jamie Arnold, on your second place finish. I mean, it's definitely something. I really like the list. I really don't want it to go to the wayside. But I mean, if it does. Yeah, if we do see those deck lists pop up, then I don't think that it's going to be a good deck going forward. But I really like it. I'm going to keep playing it as long as I possibly can. And then kind of round out top 8, we have another red-white burn list. Black-green devotion does show up. Esper Control and another black and 2 other black-green devotions. So 3 total. So that's still deck, obviously. And then we also have Jund Monsters as being the third place list. So, and, you know what I mean? Like,
I think... with this week, you really see Black Green Devotion kind of solidifying itself as the Black list. Devotion list. Yeah.
Now, something to take note of in the Jund Monsters list, piloted by Elliot Cannon, 4 Mana Confluence. I think that list can play that because they have things like, you know, Course of Crucifix, and you have Scavenging Ooze. Like, you can offset the damage that you do to yourself, so.
You know, but you have to throw back pretty much any opener that has 2 Confluences, right?
Oh, I think
like,
so.
You're just like, double Confluence. Oh.
That's awkward. and then... the highest placing Black Green Devotion list. Let me take a look at it. It's was piloted by Philip Dickman. He actually does have Bio Blights put back in his list, which is something that I think is important to take note of. I think that any sort of Black Devotion list is going to need Bio Blight. I think it is a versatile removal. Excuse me, removal spell, especially against the mirror match when you have to remove things like Pack Rat. So it's good to see that he kind of balanced it out. It looks like he actually went down to 2 Devour Fleshes, so maybe not as worried about the Hexproof matchup. So I think this is a good list to use going forward, and it's still kind of messed with the numbers and everything like that. But I really like this list, and Mono Black Devotion is something that I have access to online. So switching over to this list, buying the cards I need, and kind of being able to grind games online is really tempting. So it could be something if Brave Naya becomes, you know, a really bad deck for a week or something like that. This might be something I may start playing online and just kind of grinding out games and getting good at.
Yeah,
worth the investment. Why not?
That's possible.
I mean, like, is there anything else that kind of jumps out at us in this top 16 list? We see Junk mid range show up in 14th and 15th. I mean, this seems like more of the same.
I don't think Junk's going to last.
I don't
think
so
honest.
Either. Because again, we played against that deck. We saw it over the weekend, and it just seems like not as good Jund-esque Jund deck. It's just good cards in that deck.
There's too many times where it's just not doing anything. Yeah. Like you're playing a bunch of powerful cards, but you also get these board states. Like I saw it a bunch this weekend where you're hitting lands off your courser, sure, but you're actually hitting like lands and Caryatids. Your board is like, you know, 2 coursers and 2 Sylvan Caryatids. You're not doing anything. Like you have a Scavenging Ooze, but you haven't killed anything, so there's nothing in the graveyard for it to get bigger.
This is really good at dirtling, is what you're saying.
Well, but right. you just lose to a Chandra's Phoenix. Like you literally just like, well, I hope I'm gaining off life of these coursers to not care.
You're saying it's not proactive enough.
I would totally. I mean, like I think losing Domri is so like one of the things that makes the courser deck better is not, it's just Domri raid is so much better right now that I think
interaction like. You kind of just want all those things together. Like, if you want to play Johnny, then I really feel that there needs to be some kind of Naya Shell that someone just hasn't picked up on or just isn't good enough.
Well, I think we're going to see this being a precursor to, like, a Jund list. Because with Jund, you still get the good removal suite of your 4 Heroes Downfalls. You can play Putrefies instead of your Abrupt Decays.
You'd be able, or at least play them in conjunction right. over some other like two mana removal.
And if you really want to splash green, like you can play a mana confluence or two in yeah. Sylvan Caryatids. You know what I mean?
Right.
So if you really want access to all of those, I'm not really happy with junk. Put it at FNM Friday and hated it.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mike said, there's board states where you draw. It's just like Jund of years past, where you draw like all the creatures or all the removal. Unless you have the perfect mesh of both, you're like, well, I'm just dead.
Which, like, your removal's not even as good. Like, you have Banishing Light in a format full of Abrupt Decays, which is frustrating, you know what I mean?
Right, right, right. Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. I mean, like, your best removal spell is Hero's Downfall, and then you could play that in Mono Black.
I think a lot, I mean, most of the junk lists, like, how many Hero's Downfall are they even running? Like, Hooglin didn't have, did he have any?
Hooglin played four.
Did he have four?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Insane.
It's the best removal spell in format.
Yeah, four.
Okay.
Four in the 14th place.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that. I just didn't know. I don't know. I feel like, so, like, Junk was really good at the beginning of the last format, too. Like, Riley Curran and Dan Musser, like, played it really, and like, right before the Pro Tour.
I played it at the Pro Tour.
Yeah. And was it good at the Pro Tour?
It was bad.
Yeah. Like, it was good right at the beginning of the format, then it was already bad. So, I don't know. I think while Domri's around, I think you have to play it. If you're going to play a shell, it's like a monster's list, because, let's face it, Junk is really similar to a monster shell. I think you're just going to play the one with Domarid. Like,
I think so.
I think that's where you're at.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Oh, and Zendegos is damn good right now, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. Like, Mike, I just want to sit down and we just need to talk about... I know you're probably focusing on, obviously, the Invitational, but, man, I just want to talk about lists and just try to figure out some place where we can play all these Planeswalkers that are awesome right now.
So, I was thinking about this. Like, how sweet is Zendegos and Harnessed by Force in the mirror match? Plus my Zendegos? Do take your board. Cool. Let's get in there. Ooh. Insurrection.
You know, card's not as good as the hype. Vraska.
What hype?
People have been talking about how. I mean, like, so Hooglin like said it was okay, but he cut it. But then, like, every other junk list you look at, like, people were talking about Vraska being really good now because the neg 3 is insane because of all the non-line.
It's value,
like,
but
the
it's not
least hyped card.
No, I mean, like, I don't know. Everything I've listened to, everything I've read, has just been like, no, you need to be playing Vraska.
I don't think it's hyped. I think it's you have a catch-all, and catch-alls are literally what junk looks at, like Banishing
it's
Light and Vraska, where it's like, well, I can deal with everything.
Yeah,
technically,
it's like a good one of to have in your deck. Yeah.
Right? No, it's really disappointing.
No, I don't.
Five
mana
removal.
I would assume it is disappointing.
Right. But yeah, it's definitely interesting to see how everything kind of shakes out. Glad to see some aggressive decks show up. I think that there is definitely a lack of that in Cincy, and it's nice to see that hey, Mana Confluence is making an impact. It is working its way to being worth its price point. So that's definitely good to see. And we'll hopefully keep a close eye now that the set is available on Magic Online. It's going to be interesting how the format does evolve. Because the first couple weeks are kind of slow, but once it gets on Magic Online, things move very rapidly. So we'll definitely keep a close eye on it. We have states this weekend, so it'll be a lot of different lists to look at as well. So maybe we'll pick through some of the bright spots of the states list and kind of share them with you. Moving on, let's talk about Modern. Now, Jordan, I know you like Modern a little bit more than Standard. No Tron, sorry.
Sorry, bummer. Not surprised.
Bummer.
So there was a blue-white Tron list that did do well in one of the GPT grinders that was beforehand.
I'm a red-green purist.
I guess that would be the SJ grinders now, right?
Space Jam grinders.
Space Jam trials.
Here's
which sounds
a 100%
better than a Grand Prix trial, by the way. So obviously we're going to be moving on to Space Jam Minneapolis. It was won by Scapeshift, or as we like to call it, Griff's favorite deck. and it the pilot's name, he played for MTG Mint. I'm finding his name right now in his list. Excuse me. Jonyon Park. And it looks like I can't say that I've seen a lot of Scapeshift lists, but it looks
this is a little different than the one that Griff was playing. Griff was playing like the Channel Fireball like turbo Scapeshift version with like Colony Heart Expeditions. This is more of like the control version,
right?
With the counter spells.
Yes, this is something you see probably more typical in Magic Online.
Yeah, this is pretty much like the control deck that can just win by playing Scapeshift.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you definitely see, that sort of thing. You have even, like, a Halmar Depth to help set up your draws in the future, too. So, yeah, I mean, apparently he was just handed this list and said it was, like, the best deck in the format and proceeded to just win with it. And he had an unexpected opponent in Jund in the finals.
Man, yeah, somebody here said that deck wasn't dead when they banned everything. It would be back. God, who was it? Oh, me. I said that.
I don't think anyone guessed who's back from outer space. I don't,
because it's Space Jam.
I don't think anyone disagreed with you. I mean, it's still good.
I know people did actually on this podcast. So
was it me?
Yeah, just saying.
But was it me? I don't think so. I don't know who it was.
Was it me?
You don't remember anything.
Yeah, dude, I was.
I certainly wasn't me.
Do you see how much Norm was just spoiled? That was cool. That's how much I remember.
So we also have how many pod decks in the top eight?
So let me count them. I broke it down here. So we had in the top eight, there were two Malyra pod decks.
Okay.
So we had the Rugscape Shift Jund. We had Sean McLaren, defending Pro Tour champion, playing Blue White Red Control.
Control with quotation marks.
With Kiki Jiki combo with nice. Restoration Angel.
Just throwing in there. For shits and gigs.
He was just blowing people out with that because everybody just kind of assumed that he was on just regular Blue White Red Control.
Right.
There were also two other regular Blue White Red Controls in the top eight, two Malaria pods. In top eight, played by notable modern players, Nathan Holliday, who won a modern GP, and Brian Bronduin.
Yeah.
Brian Bronduin, by the way.
Oh, yeah, this is cool.
Had to top eight this event to qualify on points for Pro Tour Atlanta. The Pro Tour that is this weekend. There was no other way to get an invite. You know, the invites are already closed, everything else. Had to qualify on points, top eights.
Yeah.
He had a 6-0 day, too.
Actually a master, right?
But not only did he qualify for this one, he qualified for the next two.
Right, right.
He lost. He went X1-1 on day one. Posted on Twitter, well, I have to go 6-0 tomorrow. 6-0 day two.
It's fairly impressive. I'm not going to lie. Fairly impressive.
So rounding up the top eight, we had Tarmo Twins. So that's the rug-colored twin deck. And then if we look at top 16, we had Blue Red Twin, Affinity, Jun played by Willie Edel.
With the spicy bow of Nadia on the sideboard.
Nice. And then we see five more pod decks after that. We had two Kiki pods and three Malaire pod decks, one of them played by LSV.
LSV cut Malaire from his list.
He's also the only one that was playing the Archangel of Thune Spike Fearder combo.
he's the only one who still plays that. We even asked McLean and Pardee, and they were like, you just don't need it. And Ellis was like, that's the only combo I'm playing. I don't know what you're talking about.
So I went through these lists and I was looking for Journey into Nyx cards. So one of them is pretty easy. So there were two Journey into Nyx cards represented in the top 16 of this tournament. One of them is pretty easy to guess. It's Eidolon of Rhetoric.
Yeah.
Which is the
1/4.
It's the 1/4
Rule of Law.
Rule of Law on lands, yep. Yes. So can you guys guess what the other Journey into Nyx card was that was played?
Temple of Epiphany?
Temple of
the Black Green. Not a temple.
Oh.
Rats.
Mana Goblins.
Banishing Light.
It was Karanos, God of Storms.
Oh, God.
But you didn't see that one coming.
Nope.
Didn't.
No, when you say two cards, you mean two copies of...
No, there were a bunch of decks that played Eidolon of Rhetoric. Like a one of in the sideboard. And there was the blue-red twin deck played by Valentin Mackel.
Wow.
Who's also a pretty good European player.
Wow.
Played one of Karanos in his sideboard, which was pretty sweet. So, I don't know how that was, but...
Yeah.
That card's pretty awesome. I like it.
That's
cool. I saw it in play a couple times on Saturday. You know, pretty good when it was like, oh, reveal land, cool, draw a card. Like, oh, you're going to drop and get a spell. Sweet.
Yeah, most certainly. I also think it's funny that they have it titled LSV's deck has titled Malaria Pod without Malaria in it. Just pointing it out there. I don't think we can call it that if it doesn't exist in the deck.
Somehow I just want to believe that he just forgot to register a Malaria. I just want to believe that he just is like, oh, crap.
Oh, no.
And then just casually top 16. He just, they had to play an extra land, and just like, oh, all right, well, sure, I was top 16.
Well, I mean, it's a fairly, you know, interesting, top eight. Definitely a good Space Jam to take a look at. I'm sad I didn't watch more coverage since I was, you know, up in Streetsboro, but, and then, you know, spending time with my mother on Mother's Day, so I could just
set aside time. You can watch the archives on twitch.tv/MagicSpaceJam.
Magic Pro Jams.
Oh, man, I wish that were true. I wish that was a thing.
So we had another Space Jam this weekend.
Oh, yeah, it was Unlimited Space Jam, though.
Yeah.
So in Warsaw.
It was won by...
It was only in theaters for a weekend.
Yeah.
Limited.
This one actually had backups like Chris Bosch and stuff like that. Like, just nobody watched this one.
So I don't think this was on the docket, but it was won by Fabrizio and Terry.
Yeah, and he's a prominent European player.
Is he?
I think so. I've heard his name before. Oh. So,
are you thinking? You sure not thinking of just like the Febreze product for air freshener?
It's fucking rude.
When they sat down for top eight, they blindfolded his opponent and be like, "What do you smell?"
Oh man!
Oh, you're actually in a trashy European city. We did it.
Yes.
Even Flock was also in the top eight as well. And he's fairly well known. But yeah, it's Limited Grand Prix.
Grand Prix. What do you smell?
Morgan McCarl, everybody.
This is why we say Space Jams.
Excuse me. Modern Space Jam. Limited Space Jam. Apparently the top five cards were Sigiled Starfish, Golden Hind. I always think of a golden helicopter when I see that card. Daring Thief, Acroam Mastiff, and Nessian Game Warden.
That's game.
Hashtag Game Warden.
I'm the warden of the game.
So you put Game Warden in your cube, right?
I actually didn't.
What? Really?
Nah, I didn't want to cut anything for it. So.
What?
No. I have the foil, but, you know.
You got to put
it sitting
in
on
there.
The sidelines for now.
I wanted to see if anyone drafted it and played with it.
All right, maybe I'll put it in.
Please.
Okay.
Just
for you.
Seems insane. Can you put it in my first pack so I can first pick it?
Seated packs.
Can we arrange that?
You get the mono.
Can that
pack.
Be my foil promo? My sealed deck. Can we do sealed?
Sure thing.
Sweet. Awesome. So, yeah, congratulations to the Limited Grand Prix winner. Space Jam winner. Sorry. It's a hard habit to break.
Yeah, stuttering.
Listen, it's a condition, you asshole. Anyway.
Pull out the Forrest Gump.
So that's about it for our discussion competitive. Anyone else have any competitive notes to talk about? They want to, to slide in here?
Well, we have a Pro Tour coming up this weekend.
Right. I mean, that's going to be a different segment on to its own, though.
A segment. Oh.
A segment.
Okay.
So no
Never
other...
Never mind. Spoiler alert.
No, we're moving into the Pro Tour next, guys. Shh. It's a secret. All right, so let's go ahead and we'll talk about the upcoming Pro Tour. So it's going to be Theros Block Constructed. Woo! Very excited. Woo! And obviously, full Theros draft and everything like that. So now, Block actually is fairly young. You can really only play it on Magic Online, so there haven't been a whole lot of lists to look at. I know we know that a popular list has been Mono Black, specifically Mono Black aggro. As it is cheap.
I don't know that to be true. I have not done any research on Block.
He does that through his
data. I looked at some lists. I saw a lot of Mono Black aggro.
All right, well, I'm telling you guys that Mono Black aggro is fairly popular online. It is also fairly cheap online, so that is why. But typically, this format has been a Elspeth-dominant format. Obviously, it's a very powerful card in Block, and so I would expect to see a lot of Elspeths being cast in Block. Alongside Xenagos as well, Naya Midrange has been fairly popular, a color combination.
You get to play Super Friends, essentially.
Yeah, and you also get the ability to play things like Polis Crusher, and with an enchantment-based set, you know, that seems to be a pretty good card
if
to have
protection
from enchantments.
You play Johnny, Elspeth, and Xenagos.
I assume so. There is a list here online that is playing... four Elspeth, but no Xenagos in the main, just four Elspeth. So we have four Courser, four Eidolon of Blossoms, four Sylvan Caryatid, four Stormbreath Dragon, three Voyaging Satyr. And then four Magma Jet, four Lightning Strike, four Elspeth, three Chained to the Rocks, and two Destructive Revelry. But yeah, it's certainly interesting to see. Oh, see, Mike, you'd love this format. They play Faded Conflagration in it.
Best format ever.
Mike just bought him a block constructed deck on Modo.
just like that. Also, Purphoros in the sideboard. Jeez, this is your format.
Oh.
There's some serious visual acting with that last.
Sorry, if you could only see my eyes.
They're happy. She's got happy eyes.
If you could only see the way she looks at me when she says,
"Maybe you would understand."
When she says she loves me.
Yeah. And there's also another really super cheap. This deck is $19.77 online. $19.77.
From 1977.
It four-0'd a daily. Four Battlewise Hoplite, four Eidolon of Countless Battles, four Fabled Hero, four Favorite Hoplite, Fabled Hero, Favorite Hoplite, and then four Hero of Iroas. I can't say his name right.
Iroas?
Yes.
Iroas?
Remember that time Morgan
wanted to see how Rich Hagen pronounces it?
Yeah, we gotta wait.
Find out.
Legolas, Hero of Legolas. Then Aqueous Form, God's Willing, Ordeal of Thassa, Stratus Walk.
Aqueous Form, this is insane.
Powerhouse is Aqueous Form, Stratus Walk.
Yeah, and Ordeal of Heliod. Yeah.
Elspeth.
This is your aggro deck that's not mono black. So yeah, you could really get into, the block thing is pretty accessible, you know.
For $20.
$20. You have a 4-0 block deck. But no, seriously. Now, something else to take note is Junk Reanimator has also been a very popular deck previous to Journey to Nyx being introduced.
Oh, yeah? Is that a thing?
I don't know, but it doesn't show up in any of the lists after Journey to Nyx. Mm. So we'll see if that actually shows up in the Pro Tour. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Block is kind of boring, but it does help us kind of set expectations for what might be potentially good post-rotation sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, it does highlight some cards that might not see standard play right now.
I guess if you needed help establishing that Elspeth was a good card, we'll see you be playing after rotation.
It'll solidify Elspeth's spot.
I think so. I think that, guys, I think that might be a good card.
Yeah.
Don't know
Heroes
about
Downfall.
You.
No, Heroes wrong. Downfall, kind of on the fence.
You're straight wrong.
We'll see how good it does.
But, I mean, so we were talking before the podcast, and there are three anthems in this format, so Craig Wesco is probably just going to win it, right? He's going to play all white guys. And then Hall of Triumph is what it is the artifact, along with Spear of Heliod, and then Dictate of Heliod, and then he's just going to have giant creatures.
Probably play Heliods.
Yeah, just why not? Just to make more white creatures, and then...
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense. He doesn't have He doesn't have access to Judge's Familiar, though.
I know.
So, I don't know.
It's going to be tough.
I mean, I really wanted that card to win another Pro Tour, to be honest.
He could play the one blue flyer. Bestows.
Yeah,
that's
kind of
like a
Judge's Familiar. Hypnotica Siren, yeah. He could play that.
He wants to go that route.
Yeah. So.
Far be it from us to know how the Wesco thinks.
I have no idea. I wish I could. He seems to only know how to attack with small creatures. And I guess once you only know how to do that, that is all you can do. And so we'll see. But yeah, probably him. I'm going to say that. Yeah,
I will say the Block Pro Tours are probably my least favorite, but I still enjoy watching them. I still like seeing Magic being played at the highest level.
Especially so like if it's drafts. Drafts, once you get to see how the pros are drafting the format, it definitely helps solidify like how you should probably be drafting the format.
Right, and honestly, I don't play a whole lot of Limited anymore, personally, but I still like watching the best players in the world play.
And Limited games are if you can definitely be fairly exciting, since you never know what's going to happen a lot of the time. Like you don't have that same kind of
You're not seeing the same mono black aggro versus mono white aggro bashing up each other.
No, you're seeing like a bunch of potentially semi random cards, and you're just like you never know what's going to necessarily happen. You don't have the same consistency. That's what I was going to say. Same consistency is constructed. So it'll be fairly exciting. I mean, the Pro Tour is where Wizards coverage actually kind of almost matches Star City Games coverage. No, just kidding. They do a pretty good job.
I think it sells Star City of the Pro Tour minus the commentary, but the visual effects, the multiple scenes. That's really
and
good.
Like the card, the hand viewer that they do. Yeah, like, it's nice always knowing what someone has in their hand. But yeah, coverage team will probably be lacking.
Give me somebody that doesn't think you can blink a Birthing Bod.
Please,
that's all I want.
That's all we want. Just hire somebody.
Hey, to be fair, Marshall Sutcliffe is pretty good with the limited.
Yeah, I know. I can watch Marshall Sutcliffe talk about limited all day.
And knowing if it's only blocks and we only have so many cards that they need to know about.
That is very true. Very little room for error. Very small, minute.
This is a good job for him.
Interactions they can have.
This is a good job for him.
But, I mean, we'll definitely take a look at it. Obviously, there's only so much you can really take from Block Constructed, but it's only going to be one of the things we could talk about next week, so we'll probably have more on it then.
We'll find out if Thoughtseize can cut the mustard.
Yeah.
Standard.
make sure it's a good card.
Never mind.
Yeah.
You tried to go back to a joke. It just didn't work.
Yeah.
You're no Mike.
It's all right.
You're no me.
Are we going to talk about Scrooge McDuck now, or are we going to... Did we talk...
You know, we're going to bring up spoilers for Judge promos. Elishnorn is now written in Phyrexian. It's a foil.
Another thing, if you go back and look at the bathing suit that Scrooge McDuck is wearing, it's kind of strange. It's like an old timey like 1920s number. It's like black and red, or I'm sorry, white and red stripes.
I'm just gonna let him go.
But how would you even get the duck into it? Like, let's be honest. I mean, let's alone the idea that somehow these ducks have fingers and like a thumb, because like what evolution, where that happened?
Checkmate, atheists.
But
all right,
I think they're gonna let me go.
No,
I'm gonna riff for the next hour.
No, don't have that much
if
time.
If you look at your time bar, it's a 4-hour show.
And who names their kids Huey, Louie, and Dewey? Like
Huey.
Whatever, it's all garbage.
Can we talk about other Disneyland things where like a grown man owns chipmunks and makes them sing?
No.
Is that...
Don't they solve crimes later, too?
Yeah, can chipmunks vocalize music in American English?
That's not Disney. Yeah, you're talking about Alvin and the Chipmunks? I was talking about Rescue Rangers is. But
yeah, it is too.
I'm sorry, I'm too hip for this now. Let's get out.
Nope, okay, so let's go ahead and we'll move on to our closing.
Rescue Rangers, Chippendale. Rescue Rangers.
Anyway, we of course want to thank our lovely sponsor.
Snurf, snurf.
Carl.
That's wrong.
That's not the, I just went with Thundercats. Like,
not Disney.
I know, it's fine. I was just doing Thundercats.
Hey, guys. I don't know. I got nothing.
Thunder.
So, thank you to Empire Cards. You can check them out at empirecards.com. They have a lovely selection of singles, especially Journey into Next singles. So please go there, check out their stock, and buy some cards. They also have a buy list, I believe, so you can sell your cards if you need to do that as well. If you get those promo, Force of Wills, and you want to move one, talk to Carl first. He'll probably want to buy it off of you. He's kind of a
Carl will snap buy that off of you.
100%. And we definitely want to thank Fog of Dusk here in Columbus for allowing us to podcast in their lovely game room, which you can actually rent if you do need to, come here and play some D&D.
They're good to us, man.
Oh, yeah.
They just drop everything to let us record every once in a while.
Yeah. Check them out. They have a website. I believe it's just fogofdusk.com.
Fogofdustcolumbus.com.
Fogofdustcolumbus.com. And they also are on Facebook as well, so check them out there. And check us out on our website. That is atyourendstep.com. We'll hopefully have some new content. We'll have some updated bios and everything like that. We have some questions that we all need to answer. I think Mike wanted to answer all of his waffles, if he could. So,
what's your favorite deck and why waffles?
Waffles. Well, see, I was hoping...
I want the questions. I want them answered immediately.
Dave has arranged the questions for us to answer, and I was really hoping that he would ask us who our favorite Magic player was, so that Mike can answer Guillaume Waffle Taco. And
you can buy those now.
Yeah, exactly.
At Taco Bell, starting at 7 a.m.
Oh, they're not banned anymore?
No. They were, but they just brought
them back. When they released the Taco Bell God book, and they...
all the different kinds of meats and cheeses.
Well, no, it spoiled Taco Bell breakfast before it happened, so it was very disappointing.
They couldn't eat it for 2 months?
Yeah.
It was unfair to let the Frenchies have that before.
Right, exactly. It just wasn't fair.
Why?
To have them to have horrible diarrhea beforehand, so... Anyway.
I think I hear the outro music.
of course, we want to thank you as well, our lovely and faithful listeners. We will catch you next week, and thanks again. Bye.